Like manna from heaven on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Not only do you have the dynamic duo back together into Michael Cole and myself, Joe Mullinax, but more importantly, we have actual basketball news to discuss. Jaren Jackson Jr. on his way to Team USA, Team USA bound. Can you imagine Jaren Jackson Jr. on those rims in FIBA? The FIBA rules are
seven blocks per game.
The block
seven
answer.
Blocks per game.
We're going to talk about that and more on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Let's lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a beautiful Tuesday here on Locked On Grizzlies, wherever you are, however you may be taking in the podcast, because DeMichael Cole is back with us here on the Locked On Podcast Network, back on Locked On Grizzlies to beautify and intensify the genius that is the show, because DeMichael is so smart and just so handsome. Look at him. He just looks great. That's DeMichael Cole over there, over the commercial appeal. Grizzlies beat writer. Doing tremendous work. Make sure you're checking out his write-up about Jaren Jackson Jr. being on Team USA. You can also check out all the work that I do over at Bluff City Media. Again, between the two of us, you have run and you have come to the right place for Memphis Grizzlies content and information. We watch a lot of Memphis Grizzlies basketball. We cover the team. I've been doing so for a decade now. DeMichael does so full-time gig over at the commercial appeal. So welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. If it's your first time, hopefully you'll become an everydayer of our listeners and viewers over on YouTube. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. DeMichael, on yesterday's episode, I'm going to be honest for a moment. I'm going to break down the fourth wall for a second.
Okay.
I was grateful for the mock NBA draft that we're doing over at Bluff City Media because I was able to talk about my Jaylen Brown trade, which was awesome, by the way, not giving up Desmond Bane and still getting Jaylen Brown somehow. Got to love mock NBA GMs. And it was good content. And, you know, we'll eventually talk about the second round pick and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you're kind of at that point in the offseason where you're dragging, right? You're dragging content. We got to find a way to keep it fresh here on Locked On Grizzlies. And like I said at the beginning of the show, like light shining down after a dark, depressing, rainy day. Here comes Jaren Jackson Jr. with a great appearance on Paul George podcast, his podcast, which we'll talk more about later in the show. But we're going to lead off with some basketball news. Jaren Jackson Jr., the Memphis Grizzlies, going to Team USA. He's been selected to be a part of that process. I believe they're playing in the Philippines this summer. FIBA Cup action. I'm ecstatic for Jaren because it's an acknowledgement of him being one of the better young players in the NBA, which he obviously is. And it's also a chance for him to grow his game in an area that I specifically want to see him. And we've talked about this before, DeMichael. FIBA, obviously everybody's a star, right? All of these guys that are going and playing, you might have elite role players, but they all are among the top two or three players on their respective teams if they're being selected for FIBA. Obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. is no exception. He is going to be asked to, within the international style of play, be more of a facilitator. I'm not saying he's going to be a point guard or a point forward or point big like Nikola Jokic is for the Denver Nuggets, but he's going to be asked to pass the ball more, pass out of the post. His unique ability at his size to create off the dribble, Giannis-esque, as we've discussed before, he is going to have to grow as a passer coming into this environment. And that is the area of his game that I want to see him develop the most this summer. So it's a wonderful thing that he's healthy enough, that he's able to take advantage of this opportunity. I think it's going to be a major growth point for him as a basketball player.
You know what? What you pointed out stands out to me in one way. And that's actually, we're going to talk more about his appearance on Paul George's podcast, but that's something he pointed out in his own game, just basically saying this year was the first time he faced more double teams and things like that, and becoming a better playmaker and all of that. So I agree from the standpoint of we're going to see him, I guess, kind of emphasize that more, right? Try to become more of that playmaker. But watching Team USA historically, because I'm a big Team USA guy in the summer. I love watching World Cup, FIBA basketball.
And you're just a hooper. You're a hooper, DeMichael. You're a hooper.
All the way around. Mm-hmm. And with Team USA, it's a lot of isolation-heavy stuff. So, I mean, I hope you're right, but I'm not sure Jaren's going to be put in that position. If you just look over the past 15, 16 years, Team USA big men are not featured. Where Team USA big men usually stand out is on defense, which is why guys like Tyson Chandler can go play for Team USA and actually have a pretty big role, or DeAndre Jordan, or whatever the case may be. But in the case of Jaren Jackson Jr., what I'm looking forward to is, you know, the FIBA rules. You can knock the ball off the rim. And and you, yes, other teams, you know, the Spains of the world, the Argentinas, the Germanys of the world, they're going to play with all this ball movement. And just watching Jaren flourish anytime these, I don't want to say unathletic guys, but a lot of these guys aren't going to be NBA athletes, right? And Jaren's just going to swat the ball to the left, swat it to the right. Like, I was joking earlier with the 7 blocks per game, but I legitimately believe he could have a field day. We could be watching some volleyball type stuff, Joe.
I think that you make a great point there, and I'm going to counter you. I like when we don't fully agree. It makes the show a little bit more
makes it fun, right?
Enticing. Yeah. Two counters. Okay. One, you have to remember that Team USA is under new management, right?
That's true.
I think Grant Hill being in charge now, being one of the leaders of the organization. I think Steve Kerr is now the head coach. Uh-huh. I think that's right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
Mike Krzyzewski has stepped away. And you watch a Warriors basketball team. I know the NBA and FIBA are different. But you watch the Warriors, there's lots of back cuts, lots of types of passing off of screens. I think that you might see a different style of Team USA. And that leads me to my second point. I hope that we see a different style offensively. Because you're exactly right. I watch the FIBA basketball games too.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of ISO. There's a reason why the world's catching up with us. And we don't need to go down the rabbit hole of AAU basketball and why it's evil and all those sorts of things. I don't know that we're ready for that conversation. But I do think that there is some truth to the way that other teams move the ball. The ball always moves faster than any individual person can. Imagine if Team USA, with superior athletes, which is 100% accurate. I'm not disputing that at all. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they played that style. It would be impossible for any of these teams to keep up. I think that you'll see more of that. I agree that it probably won't be a wholesale thing, but I think especially in practice, and that's where I was thinking more of the facilitation, pass off of the dribble penetration. In practice, he's going to be scrimmaging against, you know, Bam Adebayo potentially, or somebody of that ilk. He'll be playing against Mikal Bridges, or maybe with Mikal Bridges. Brandon Ingram is the other name that was announced alongside Jaren. So he's going to be playing alongside these guys in scrimmage style type of play. He might be asked to be more of a screener. That is something that we haven't really talked about yet.
Oh, he's definitely going to be asked to do more of that.
That he also has to get better at as well. So there's lots of opportunities beyond, you know, the passing element. But I do hope that with Team USA, again, under new management, so to speak, that they do try to. Obviously, the United States of America is still number one in basketball, but that gap has shrunk considerably, whether it's in the international game and on the team level, or whether it's the fact that who are the best players on the planet right now? Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic. You could go four or five down the list until you come to an American or North American-born basketball player. So I think going back to the roots a little bit in terms of that ball movement, the way that Golden State has played under Steve Kerr, I'm kind of hoping that they do a little bit more of that. But you're right. They are historically more ISO-based.
Yeah, I can I understand what you're saying there. But the thing is, Team USA, what's different about Team USA as compared to, you know, Spain, Argentina, those type of teams? Spain, Argentina, those guys pretty much – play together consistently.
That's a fair
every point. 2 years, where Team USA just says, we're going to get 12 of the best players and we're just going to scrabble them together. And that's kind of the difference. Santi Aldama, for example, we haven't touched on him much yet.
Great example. About this. Shout out to
Santi. I actually thought about this when I was writing earlier, Joe. Santi Aldama versus Jaren Jackson Jr., potentially. Spain,
it's not going to go well for Santi. It's not going to go well for him.
Hey, it's going to be his style.
Individually, if we're talking ISO, ain't going to go well for Santi.
Hey, don't sleep on Santi. Now, I agree with you. I agree with you, but I'm not saying it's a walk in the park. But here's the thing. Santi, I remember having this conversation with him before. You know, being in the Spain system, you play with a lot of those guys. You kind of grow up playing with them in a way.
Sure.
That's true. And that's the difference. Whereas a lot of these guys in American basketball have played together, you know, on Team USA circuits before and stuff like that. But it's usually just quick. Whereas these guys for, you know, these other top performing countries have played together for longer period of times. And that's where you see, you know, when they play against teams like Serbia and the ball is just moving. And it's like, man, these guys, you know exactly where the other player is going to be. Team USA is probably what I think will happen is they're going to try it, but they'll probably say, you know what, screw this. Like, we're messing up the plays. This guy's going to the left. He's going to the right. Just move out of the way. Like, we got Brandon Ingram. Clear out. Move. Like, you know.
Right.
So I think there could be a lot of that. But at the end of the day, I think we both agree that this is a great opportunity for Jaren Jackson Jr. We don't even have to touch on all the risk and all of that, because at the end of the day, you step outside right now and go shoot a basketball, there's a risk. But I think the developmental opportunity, the chance to grow his game, then I always talk about the recruitment factor as well.
Yeah, how about that? Mikal Bridges will be there.
Remember, a lot of people, the big trade acquisition at the deadline this year was Kevin Durant, right? Mm-hmm. And people pointed back to him and Devin Booker playing together on the Olympic team in 2021 as kind of a strong point. And you go even back before that. You know, it's happened several times. I think Dwayne Wade and LeBron James have had to set it where they had to the conversation with Carmelo Anthony about matching up contracts so they can all potentially join together in that summer. What was it, 2010 summer when they grouped up and Carmelo had put another year on his contract or whatnot. But the point is, great recruitment opportunity and just great individual opportunity for Jaren.
Yes, congratulations to Jaren Jackson Jr. and everybody else being named to Team USA. It's an honor. You know, it's kind of cheesy to say in 2023 probably, but to represent your country, that still means something to me. America's not a perfect place, but it is a place that we all call home, and it's cool to see a Memphis Grizzly be part of Team USA. So shout out to you, Jaren. We'll talk about another reason to shout out Jaren Jackson Jr., standing by his brother, Ja Morant, using Jaren's words on the recent episode of the Paul George podcast. We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Game Time. Huge fan of the Game Time app. Buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. Thanks to the Game Time app, it just got a lot easier. Flash deals, last minute tickets, images of your seats, where you might be partaking in a concert or a playoff game. The lowest price guarantee is always there with Game Time. Plus, they have event cancellation protection. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on the tickets right up to the day of the event. They're sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. It is just too easy to ignore. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're talking Jaren Jackson Jr. and his reaction to Ja Morant's latest issues next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, joined by the wonderful DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. Make sure you're checking out his work over at the Commercial Appeal and following him on Twitter at DeMichael C. If you don't already do so, you can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax if you want to make that poor choice. Thankfully, the mock draft is over and you won't have to see any more of those tweets. Maybe I'll get some followers back. I do always lose followers when the mock draft is happening. People don't care about who the mock Boston Celtics take at 59 overall. They just don't care. Who would have thunk it? But anyway, we've been talking about this very Jaren Jackson Jr. centric episode.
How about that, right?
It's a nice change, but we're still going to put a splash of Ja Morant in there. Jaren recently was on Paul George's new podcast. It is still new. I think it's in the, you know, for the first few episodes still.
Yeah, I think it was like the 14th episode.
Yeah, there you go.
I like the podcast, Pete.
Yeah.
He has that podcast voice, you know.
I do know what podcast voice sounds like.
You have one.
But definitely don't have a face for television. I have a face for podcasting. That's a fact. Not YouTube podcasting, but I digress. Podcast P with Paul George. Shout out to Paul George. Future Memphis Grizzly, potentially Paul George. Mm. Maybe we talked about recruitment.
They did have a nice little chemistry on the show now.
I thought so too. I'll tell you what. But anyway, it would cost a lot, and maybe that's an episode of Locked On Grizzlies down the road. But there's lots of great content. If you haven't checked out the show, Podcast P with Paul George, the episode with Jaren, we highly recommend you do so. After you're done with the Locked On Podcast Network for the day, go check it out. And he talks a lot about, you know, the LeBron James stuff, calling LeBron old. He defends Dylan Brooks numerous times throughout the episode. And that kind of ties in with what I want to talk about with Jaren and his love for Ja and what's currently going on with Ja. And this is from Jaren on the episode. He says that Ja is his brother, no matter what. And I'm going to quote directly here. Like, no matter what, like, I stand by my brother. And I think that's like the lesson everybody should take away from this. Everybody's going to say whatever, but they're everybody. And it never matters at the end of the day. It's your family. It's your brother. That's just how I am. It's not a code thing. That's my dog. So I'm going to ride with him. He's going to get right back to running the league like he does. He's going to get right back to jumping over everybody. He's going to get back to running it just like he does. He already knows that. You know, he works hard. So I was impressed with that. Because in today's society, it's very easy to pile on people. And he kind of said that without saying it there in that quote. I thought it was a very mature response and a very good way to show support for someone that he clearly has emotional connection with. They're the same age, even though he's a year in front of Ja in terms of draft classes.
Right.
They are very clearly connected. And Jaren believes in him still, and I'm sure that that means a lot to Ja. In a world that seems by the day to continue to try to find reasons to just punish and not try to help, this is someone that is staying by their brother. And I thought that was really cool to hear from Jaren on this podcast.
Yeah, Jaren was very supportive of Ja, and he basically said, look, I'm going to stand by him no matter what. Yeah, he pointed out, hey, this guy's human. He's making mistakes. And one thing that he pointed out that stood out to me, because it's something hearing it from a peer, right?
Right.
We say it, but we usually speak from the perspective of, we always say, hey, look, man, I don't know what his shoes are like in this position, but I can only imagine. But Jaren Jackson Jr. is a guy who, you know, is top five pick coming into the NBA. He was one of the top recruits in the country. He's always been near the top. And he gets to play with Ja Morant, and Jaren is huge in Memphis. Like, he's huge here. Jaren can't go into a store and not get recognized. Like, he's huge here. But the fact that he's talking about everything that's being thrown on a 23-year-old, him being 23 as well, kind of put things in perspective for you, because it is tough. And again, I get, you know, people, you know, we'll point out the fact that Ja should know better because, you know, he had the slip up before and things like that. But Jaren also made another good point, and that point was things are way more visible now. You know, how many incidents, I don't even want to get too much into this because this hypothetical, but how many incidents pre-2010? These last two videos were Instagram Live videos. Instagram Live wasn't even a thing, you know, in 2010. Instagram probably wasn't a thing until, what, 2010, 2011, somewhere around that time. But with that being said, like, think about, like, I don't know. I think about, like, Michael Jordan going
his
to
gambling addiction.
The casinos. Could you imagine? He'd be bullied out of those casinos. He couldn't do that now. They'd have cameras all around him. Michael Jordan at casino after a game and whatever the case may be, and whatever the other players like to do, whether it was off the court, on the court, it's a different microscope. And I've always said, even before all of this stuff happen, because Ja Morant, again, I've written about it. He's talked about, you know, kind of this adjustment to this superstar. And one thing he used to say was, a lot of people ask him the question, you know, they don't ask him how he's been. They ask him, how's it going, you know, with the Grizzlies and things like that. And all those are little factors that kind of play into adjusting to being a superstar. Everything is centered around not who you are as a person, but what you do, you know, as a person. So Jaren gets that. In the case of Ja, he gets that a lot. So hearing his perspective, you know, standing by him, and he gave good reasoning. You know, it didn't come off to me as just, hey, that's my teammate, and whatever he does is right, is right. He put it in perspective. Hey, he's a human. He's a 23-year-old. He's making some mistakes. And you shouldn't expect him to be perfect.
Nobody is perfect, right? And to your 23-year-old point, you know, when I was 23, I was doing dumb things. And I think
imagine Joe Mullinax at 23.
That are older. When I was 23, goodness, how long ago was that now? That was the year 2009, something like that. Yeah, and I was doing plenty of dumb things, you know, fresh out of college, that sort of stuff. You have to, and again, I try to empathize in that way where I can't empathize with how they, you know, had to come up for a variety of reasons that we don't have enough time to talk about on a 30-some minute podcast. How they came up, the fact that they're multimillionaires at the age of 23, which I obviously was not. Yep. There's so much that you can't empathize with, but, you know, to bring this kind of full circle, you made the point earlier, Jaren can empathize. And those words coming from Jaren will mean more than words coming from you or from me or from Taylor Jenkins or Zach Kleiman, you know, maybe Robert Pera, that would still mean something because that's, you know, the governor or owner of the franchise. Right. But my point is, you listen to your peers more than you usually listen to most people because of the reason that you gave. They do know. They do understand. And Jaren is showing that empathy while also acknowledging that Ja has some growing up to do. And I think that was a nice balance that he found and he struck on the podcast or the Paul George podcast. He also talked about with Paul George the idea of Memphis being humbled by the Los Angeles Lakers and what they'll learn from that. We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, Prize Picks is happening once again. The NBA Finals are heating up. The Miami Heat absolutely stole Game 2 in Denver. Still not quite sure how Miami won that basketball game, but they did. It's a tied series going back to Miami. $1 million daily Superflex promotion is still happening for Prize Picks. You make your entry after 8 a.m. Central Time over at Prize Picks, and you can win $1 million. Full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. And remember, one of the best things about Prize Picks is you're not playing against other people. You're going against the projections that are available. You can play NBA, hockey, Major League Baseball, PGA, the WNBA, all of the sports. It's all there for you over at Prize Picks with safe and fast withdrawals. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Humility, thy name is Memphis? Maybe. We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am Joe Mullinax, your co-host of the podcast, joined on this episode. Once again, very happy to have back to Michael Cole. The dynamic duo rides again. To Michael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. Make sure you're checking out his work over the Commercial Appeal. If you want to read my stuff, I am over at Bluff City Media. To Michael, this podcast, I can't stress enough. If you haven't checked it out yet, you definitely should. Again, this is the Podcast P with Paul George. And it's a good show, as DeMichael talked about earlier, even when Jaren Jackson Jr. is not on it. But it was definitely a good episode with Jaren on there. Mm-hmm. And there's fun things like Steven Adams, you know, the fact that he worked out by himself, which makes total sense. Why would he need a trainer? I think that's exactly right. But the big thing that when you and I talked about this episode, we wanted to make sure we touched on was getting humbled in the playoffs and why that was big for the Grizzlies. And this is, again, from Jaron. I think getting humbled was the best thing for us. It's going to make us way more hungry. Hungry like we were like 3 years ago with no expectations on anything. That's the big line for me. We got leveled at the end of the year, so we got to sit with that all summer. We're done in May, and I'm watching the other games, like, really not happy, tripping. This is going to be the best thing for us. We're going to have that edge. We're going to come back, and we're going to be so hungry. We're going to remember that feeling up until playoffs. We're going to get it done. That's what you want to hear, right?
Hey, like, it sounds like a leader.
Aside from me saying that, like, not really not happy, tripping, right? Like, that's something obviously I would never say. That's very much Jaron Jackson Jr. sounding a lot cooler than me when I say it. But very much driven, very what you want to hear. And like I said, my favorite part was when no expectations on anything, acknowledging the fact that in this first year where they were expected to be something more, they fell short. And the understanding of that, again, Jaron is 23 years old. He might have just turned 24. He's right in that window.
He's 23, yep.
Yeah, so he's, but I think he turns 24 in the next couple of months or something like that. So he'll be 24 by the time the season starts, is the best way to put it. And for him to, in that space, understand we should have done more and we didn't, and trying to direct that energy in a positive way toward that growth, not just individually as a member of Team USA, but talking about the team mentality. That made me excited. That made me feel, even if Ja does get a substantial suspension, and you talked about it on last week's episode at the end of the week, I talked about it a little bit yesterday, it seems like somewhere in the range of 16 to 20 games is a realistic expectation at this point for Ja. Regardless of the suspension, they can still hold water because they've got guys like Jaron Jackson Jr. leading the charge.
Yeah. Jaron, I mean, listening to what he said, there was some accountability there.
Love that word.
It's very much leadership. That's all I could think about. You know, I've kind of tooted the horn of Desmond Bane of being that guy who's going to rise up and be the leader. Still think that's pretty much going to be the case. But Jaron, I mean, that 1A, 1B, right? I mean, listening to him talk, just not only that, just how he handles everything, how he handled the whole conversation, you know, about Ja, about Dylan Brooks and everything else. Jaron sounds like he's turning into that guy. You can tell he's the longest tenured player on the Grizzlies right now. I'll say that. But the thing about this whole humble thing, I agree, but at this point, what else choice
do you have?
Because there's
that's a great point.
There's a trend that's starting to develop. And that trend is, you know, in the last two playoffs, you had a number two seed. You got one series win to show for it. So I think a lot of people are going to, you know, expect the Grizzlies, if they finish with a number two seed, to say, oh, they haven't done anything in the playoffs yet. We're not expecting them to go to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals potentially and things like that. And that makes this team hungry. You know, that's there's a lot of motivation that's going to be, you know, placed into that. And you know, watching, you know, Jaron Jackson Jr. as he continues to develop, because clearly there's a lot left in that bag. Desmond Bane, the growth he made from last season to this season, and now what he's going to do going into next season, and then we're going to spend a bunch of time talking about all the young guys. There's a strong case to be made that, you know, that humbleness can lead to some really good results.
Humility is not weakness, it is strength. And again, I feel like I've said a lot of grandpa things on this episode. I feel like Grandpa Joe here a little bit.
Again,
in 2023, to say that humility is strength and not a weakness, that's something that's kind of controversial, depending on the people that you're talking to. And I do believe that, because it's an acknowledgement of what we talked about earlier in the show with Ja being a human, right? DeMichael Cole is a human being. Joe Mullinax is a human being. All of us, everybody that's listening to this, you know, unless there's some robot in some distant galaxy that we don't know about who somehow picked up on the signal, we're all human beings, right? We're all people trying to find our way on this mortal coil. And as we go through that process, we all have different talents and skills. Some of them have been deemed by society to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And that is where the Memphis Grizzlies find themselves. But life is life, regardless of the amount of money you make. And when you're in that position, sometimes you get, you know, the old, I think I used this as one of our descriptions in an episode recently, to paraphrase Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. Right? And the Memphis Grizzlies got punched in the face by the Los Angeles Lakers. And kudos to the Lakers. They punched them, and the Memphis Grizzlies didn't get back up. They have an offseason now to pick themselves back up. How they do so is going to determine the direction of the franchise for the next couple of years, in my opinion. I think this is a monumental offseason, not just because of replacing Dylan Brooks, but because of how they are going to respond to the first true adversity. Because even though they lost in the second round of last year's playoffs and they were the two seed, maybe people expected a little bit more. That was the Golden State Warriors. And that was the team that eventually won the NBA Finals. So that's not that bad compared to what happened to Memphis this year. And if you ignore context and injuries and all those sorts of things, put all that aside, the two seed Memphis Grizzlies lost to the seven seed Los Angeles Lakers. That happened. How do they respond to that failure? That's life. That's that. Mm-hmm. And again, I can't relate to having millions of dollars, but I can relate to being to failing at something and how I recovered and how I responded, how I moved forward. I can't wait to see how this young team does that. And to hear Jaren Jackson Jr. talk the way that he did, it gives me hope that there's wisdom beyond his years and he'll be able to pick up this team that's going to have adversity to start the season. Whether it's 5 games, 50 games, or everything in between, I don't think it's going to be 50 games. But, you know, however long Ja's suspension is, they're going to face adversity. How they respond is going to dictate what their season looks like. And it makes me more excited for that prospect as opposed to nervous. What a wonderful opportunity to talk about things that aren't all Ja Morant related on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Yeah, gosh. We can only hope this continues going into Wednesday's edition of the podcast. Lots of fun things we can discuss. You know, maybe I could talk about the end of the Bluff City Media mock draft. I did kind of nail my second round pick. So I do want to share that with you on tomorrow's show at some point to Michael. I think he'll be proud of me. And, you know, obviously the NBA Finals is getting weird. There's lots of different ways we can go. Excited for our Wednesday edition of the show.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And like you said, a lot of different ways we can go. A lot of good Grizzlies content that we're going to start to hit on, especially now. You mentioned the mock draft, but after this NBA Finals series ends, a lot of decisions got to be made on the Grizzlies side of things, too. Very quickly. The Xavier Tillman senior option has to be picked up this month. And it's all indications are that that's going to happen. But still, until it actually is written on the paper, it's a conversation to be had.
People can take a screenshot of their video if they're watching on YouTube and send me a picture of it, and I will eat after I print it out that screenshot if Xavier Tillman is not on this team, on that team option. They might sign an extension beyond it, so don't try to be a smart Alex. Some of you, I know how some of you YouTube and podcasters, there might be an extension beyond it, but he's going to be on the Memphis Grizzlies. If he's not here, I'll eat a screenshot of me saying that. But I'm fairly confident in that reality. So DeMichael and I will be back with you on Wednesday's episode. Until then, stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies. We appreciate you. However you check out the show, doing so each and every day, have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll catch you tomorrow here on Locked On Grizzlies.